The New Testament tells us that it was on the road to Gaza in early first century Judea that a deacon named Philip came upon an Ethiopian court official in a chariot. The Ethiopian was parked on the side of the road, taking a break from the long ride from the temple in Jerusalem back to his home country. He was reading from the book of Isaiah when Philip approached him and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?"
The Ethiopian responded, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." Acts 8:30-33.
The Ethiopian official asked Philip if this ancient scripture was about the prophet Isaiah or about someone else. Then Philip, beginning with this same scripture, shared the good news about Jesus Christ.
Philip continued along the road with the Ethiopian official until they came to some water. The Ethiopian asked, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?"
Philip then proclaimed the truth that millions of others have since discovered. Jesus will redeem whoever receives and believes the gospel. Every person, regardless of race, tribe, class, or condition, is offered the same invitation. Then the Ethiopian commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, where Philip baptized him. Acts 8:38. It turns out the baptism of the Ethiopian official in the 8th chapter of Acts is the first evidence of a person from Central Africa receiving and believing the gospel.
So there's a bit of an image of what a desert road might look like, not a place that we'd be walking too often. But on your tables, you've got a piece of paper that's got the Bible passage from Acts 8. Some questions to go with it. So if you sort of move your chairs around so that you're gathered around a table, if you need to move somewhere else to join a group, then please do. And we're just going to take a bit of time, read the passage out loud together, have a look at those questions, and be thinking about, as you go through it, what really jumps out to us. At the end, they're going to ask each group to share one key point with the rest of us. So what is the one most important thing that you think you want to share with the other groups when we get to the end? So, right. Okay, shall we bring our talk round the tables to a close? Sounds like you've had some good things to talk about. So, have you all got something to share? Just a line or two? Not an hour sermon. Yeah? Do you want to start on? So we can pass this guy.
So we have two Bible teachers on this table, and they said, never underestimate the significance of one person. And so talking about divine guidance, the Ethiopian was led by his own heart, he was open, and Philip by divine guidance. So God guides us in different ways. If we tune into his voice, we'll know that he'll meet people where they're at, even if it's a desert place. God's voice can still guide us.
Okay. Oh, no, I don't know what I was... No, we haven't really thought... We sort of went on the culture angle, because I expect most of you reading this passage, when it says the Ethiopian was reading Isaiah, you probably picture a man like this with a book in front of him. But he wouldn't have had a book in front of him because books didn't exist then. He would have had a very small scroll because the Jewish scrolls are enormous. But he would have had a small one that he would have carried with him. And the other thing is, when we sit and read a book now, we sit and we read a book like this. But no, up until probably the early 20th century, I think, if you were reading a book, you would read out loud to yourself. So that's why Philip was able to hear what the man was saying, because he was reading out loud. We don't think about things like that. I think sometimes we miss like the cultural significance of some of these things. But I'm afraid that's all we've really got.
I guess it's ended up with me. Just following on to Cam's point, it raised a lot of questions for us. We didn't understand, because we took from the scripture that we read, this man was already a believer. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship God. How was he a believer there in Africa? Had one of the disciples already been to Africa taking the gospel? Or was it that he was such an educated, traveled man that he'd come to learn about God, perhaps in the Holy Land, in Israel, upon his travels? But then why was he in the area anyway, if it was not to worship God in Jerusalem? Yeah. You think he was Jewish? Okay. Steve, are you agreeing with that? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then he was reading the scrolls, as you commented, Cam. But I guess the scrolls wouldn't have been written in a language native to his country. So it means that he was educated to the point that he understood Aramaic or Hebrew, or what language would they have been written in Hebrew, I presume, which was quite a thing, wasn't it, to be reading the scrolls in a language that wasn't his in that setting. And then I guess the other point, just to, again to follow that through, how could he understand what he was reading? I'm making lots of presumptions here, but I'm presuming that he didn't know about Jesus at that point. So reading that scripture from Isaiah, it would be the natural thing, I presume, to assume that this was Isaiah talking about himself, and something that was going to happen to Isaiah in the future. And to become a true follower of God and to understand everything that the Jews now understood about Jesus, he needed that encounter with Philip to bring him into that position. And of course, the amazing thing also is that when he asked to be baptized and he went down into the water, it says that the Spirit of God met him and he came out of the water, baptized in the Spirit. So an incredible experience. His whole understanding was therefore increased in understanding what it meant to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, rather than just a follower of God, if I draw that distinction.
Thank you. Philip, he was one of the deacons that was chosen to help in the early church. Okay.
To follow on with Camilla and Peter saying the fact he was listening. He went in at his level. He must have worked out he was smart. But he doesn't say, here's a commentary on what you're reading. He went in with a question to find out what he thought he was reading. So he could actually engage rather than preach.
Good point. Thank you. All right. So who's going to share here?
I think we started at the eight and worked backwards, because it started with our own experiences. I'll tell you that one later. If I had been an evangelist, plenty of us have, and I'd gone to a city that was opposed to me and didn't want to know anything about what I would have to say, and revival broke out in that city, and I couldn't believe what was happening around me. The last thing I would want to do, believe that. But an angel came and plucked Philip away to a guy he'd never heard of, never met, would never see again, and lead him to Christ. All that opened and preached Jesus to him in the Old Testament version. And to us, on this table, talking about coincidences that we've had, God incidences and things, it just speaks volumes to us of God's mercy and grace in all respects, every way through. And, you know, if it had to have a title, that's what we give it. And praise God.
Thank you. Is it you, Stephanie? It's a few words.
Well, we seem to cover an awful lot of different things, and about ways God has spoken to individual people in different ways and so on, and how that's affected their lives. I think that's a summary of what we've found, really.
Okay. Well, that's a bit loud. We went through all the questions and was challenged quite a lot through them all. But what we settled on was the water. You know, they're there in the desert, and there appears the water. Now, that would have been very unexpected. That was God's miracle to have them right beside the water for Philip to be, for the eunuch to be baptized. And we were just thinking of God's living water, that Holy Spirit, and how we're carriers too of that living water, and how people need to know that water of life in the desert, in the hard place.
So I'll start from a different angle. When we asked the questions, the first thing we asked was, what about this official did not open the Bible at the first instance to read this particular, to start studying? Would he have had this encounter with Philip? So now, it was a man that his heart was open. He was willing to know, and he started reading. So he encounters Philip. Philip asked him, do you know what you are reading? Some people might assume, oh, I know what I'm reading. And they might miss that encounter, but he was sincere. He said no. So he had an encounter with Philip. And when you go through the scriptures, you see where he was the one that pointed to Philip. This is a river. Can I be baptized? This is somebody that his heart is open. So at the end of the day, just like our everyday life, when we are prompted to study the word of the Lord, when studying the word of the Lord, Do we carry on? Do we follow on with the encounter? Because every light of a gospel brings an encounter. Whether a minute, few seconds, we study any scripture, there is an encounter that is coming through. And if we do it at this man's experience and we see everything, it was a man that his eye was open and a man that was willing to follow through the encounters of it.
Thank you. I think one more group here.
Thank you. Well, we decided a lot of it, what's already been said is true, but basically we can see from this story that God meets us where we are and changes us. God's love is always with purpose, and his love is real and tangible. God will change the plan for that seeking soul who have a willing heart and to be able to be open to God. And Philip was clearly directed by the Spirit, and the Ethiopian was ready because he was reading the scripture, and it was the perfect gospel opportunity. And it's important for us to always be ready and open to the Spirit for God to direct us for those gospel opportunities, and for us to be like Philip and speak and share to those who are seeking. So it's important for us to be obedient and step out in faith. And it was also, you know, the Lord will provide, because the water was there, was ready for baptism in the middle of the desert, has been said, and God will always make a way, but we must be obedient. So the Ethiopian was ready and was listening, and so was Philip. And it was when we were directed by the Spirit, there's a miracle opportunity.
Last but not least.
I think this table here represents the mission and the ministry of this church, because we have from Nigeria, from Kenya, from France, from Romania, and from Wales. No.
And Canada.
And Canada, because I'm a Canadian citizen. So, but God has brought us here, and that's the main thing. And as we read the scriptures and found how God had moved in a tremendous way to bring these two people together and formed all these miracles which all of you have talked about, and we really are so pleased that God has put us here together just by chance, because he is moving here today in a mighty way.
Do you want to add?
And also, I just want to introduce our two new friends here today from Poland.
Yeah.
Would you like to just say hello to everybody? Just say hi, and you're on holiday here.
Yeah, we are in holiday for 1 week. We live 30 feet from here, so not far. It's nice to be here. We were 25 years in church like this. Now we are in Baptist church. It's the change, but the God is the same. So it's fine that it's so many different people here. We listen new things. We're talking about God. It's the true that everywhere we are, God is. So it's fine.
What part of Poland do you come from?
In North Poland. Okay. So about 100 kilometers from Gdańsk.
Great, wonderful. So let's just gather our thoughts, because I think it's so great to have this opportunity to share together and bring different ideas and reflections. Let me give you more of a macro view of this. And I want us to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 10, where we have the League of Nations. So post-flood, Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem was the father of the Semites, which was, back in the day, as indeed today, the Semitic nations. Ham was the father of the African nations, and Japheth was the father of the European nations. And that's how the Table of Nations spread out. We come to the book of Luke, and we have the gospel. We come to Acts, Luke, which was written by the same person. And as we understand the spread of the gospel, it's revealed in a number of different ways. We have the day of Pentecost, 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved. We have households saved. But then we have individuals saved. And what is interesting is what we have in Acts 9 is a Jew getting saved, a Semite whose name is Paul. We come to, as we read here, Acts 8, and we have an African getting saved, the son of Ham. And then Acts 15, we have Cornelius, an Italian regiment leader, who gets saved from the descendants of Japheth. So Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So these three individuals, we have the Ethiopian eunuch, we have Paul, and we have Cornelius. Now, I don't think it's insignificant the way that that's recorded, because it's all about the spread of the gospel, isn't it? Excuse me. It's all about how the word of the Lord went forth and the miraculous ways that God worked in order to bring about the spread of the gospel. Because after this, then Philip goes up to Caesarea, and then there's another chapter that's opened. But obviously there was a revival in Samaria. So as the gentleman said, you know, if you're the leader of revival, you don't get kind of moved away. You stay faithful in that commission. But it doesn't matter whether you've got 10,000 people in your church or you're talking to one person on the road. The fact of the matter is, it's all about being where God wants you to be at the exact moment that he's called you to be there. Crowds are not the issue. Jesus often dismissed the crowds. But it's all about you being where God wants you to be. And he can move you to moment's notice. He can just say, look, now is the time to move on. And the word of the Lord came to this Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip was there. And let me just say something about the word of God itself, because this is the journey that this eunuch was on. You know, when we come to the scriptures, there are three steps that we take. Number one is the step of observation. What does the Bible say? So this is what the eunuch did. He was reading the scriptures. He was reading the word of God. Step number two is one of interpretation, which goes beyond observation to what does the Bible mean? So you can read the Bible, as indeed was the case here, without actually understanding what the Bible says. And that was the critical point for Philip to engage with this eunuch, to actually bring interpretation to the word of the Lord. But interpretation in itself is not enough, because there's a final step, which is one of application, which means, how does the Bible relate to my life? Now, unless the scripture is applied, it is not correctly understood. It's not enough to read the Bible. It's not enough to interpret the Bible. You've got to put it into practice. And you wonder how the word came to this eunuch. Obviously, he had the scriptures. But the fact of the matter is, he had an inquiring heart. But we need to say to ourselves, what is it about the word of God that we need to apply? What do we need to do to take this message? Because as it was applied, so it came alive. Suddenly this eunuch, suddenly, gloriously and wonderfully had an encounter with God. Beyond the text, was the bridge, but the eunuch didn't stay at the text. He didn't get locked into the Bible, but rather the Bible released him into his new life. And that's what the scripture does, because the word of God is living and active. Amen. So I hope you've enjoyed and been blessed by these discussions, but go away and think about it more, because as I read the scripture just there, there's so much in there. The more you read it and reflect upon it, the more you can glean from it. Isn't that true? So thank you, and God bless you all. Thanks. Thank you.
So I'm aware our time is going, so just going to move on a little bit. On your tables, there's a kind of set of pictures around a road. And this is to prompt us in our prayer. We're going to have a separate prayer time, but I think because our time is going, just encourage you, just have a little look and see, what do any of those mean to you? The question is something like, where will your road take you this week? Which places will you go to where you might connect with people? Just think about where you go through work or with clubs or neighbours or family or out on your street or whatever it is. Where is your road going to take you? And are we willing to pray that prayer? Lord, use me and connect me wherever I go, where my feet take me. Or perhaps even more, Lord, do you want me to take any diversions this week? Maybe a road that I'm not expecting. Can you give me ears to hear your direction so that I'm in the right place at the right time for whoever out there needs to meet you? Because you might be the one person this week that somebody else is waiting for. You might think, well, I'm not anyone special. I don't know what to say or do, but God might have a plan for you that is the answer for someone else. So as we sing our next song, let's just make that our prayer, can we? That we, because the song is about that. Jesus, your heart is for the nations, but the song also has a response from us. Lord, wherever, to whoever, Lord, I'm willing to go, will you use me? So let's make this our prayer, and then we're going to follow with one final song that Azra is going to come and help lead us in with her guitar. So we've got two more songs, and then we'll be finishing.